Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your peace. We pray, Father, that we would long for your peace in this world. So often we get so entangled with the situations at hand, with plans and the things that we need to do, work schedules, weddings, things of that nature. Those things that, Lord, fill our minds and our hearts. And sometimes, Lord, we get filled with anxieties about things that are not going right. And I pray, Father, that when we reach those times of frustration, those times of anxiousness, I pray, Father, that we would realize that we need your peace and that we would pray for your peace. Lord, all things are going to happen according to your purposes and not our own. We make our plans and we pray sometimes, Lord, bless our plans. But sometimes you have a different route for us to take. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to take the route that we did not see. So make us mindful. Make us sensitive to the leading of your Spirit so that we would follow you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time as we get into your word. I pray your Spirit would just fill us to overflowing, that we might understand and apply the things that we're learning. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It was a couple of weeks since we got together, so just by way of review, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, verse 1, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and with prayer. This is what we covered a couple weeks ago, but one of the things that stand out to me is verse 5. For it is sanctified, set apart by the word of God and prayer. This is probably the essence of the doctrines of Calvary Chapel. Everything that we do and teach is based off of the word of God. Later on, Paul is going to talk about profane and old wives' fables and, you know, things of that nature. And when the Lord gave the commandments, he gave us the commandments for us to absorb. This was the things that the Lord doesn't require, but the things that the Lord is. The Lord is loving, and he wants us to love him. The Lord doesn't want anybody else to be there. You know, you people that are married or have relationships, you know, you want it to be a singular relationship. This multiplicity stuff just doesn't work. And the Lord's the same way. He doesn't want any other gods before him. He says, rest one day in seven. Keep it holy. I've given you a day of rest, the Lord had said. Take it. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't bear false witness. This is what I am. And then at the end of it all, he says, be ye holy as I am holy. He wants you to be the same way. Now, giving of the law does not give us the ability to do those things. So we try to do the best we can, don't we? We say, I can't, but I'm going to do the best I can. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set limits. I'm going to set boundaries in my own life that keep me from doing the things that the Lord doesn't want me to do. And to do the things that he does want me to do. And these are man-made things. And we put in our own boundaries and say, well, I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go there. But as soon as we start putting boundaries out there, what happens? The lines start to get a little fuzzy. When we start to get into situations that, well, if we can go this far, how can't we go a little farther? Can't we go this way or this way or that way? Can't we just get a little closer to the edge of the things that we have set for ourselves? Because that's our nature. We're going to want to do that. And the Lord says, don't do these things. The only way that we can accomplish what the Lord wants for us to do is by the Holy Spirit. The sacrifices that he laid down pointed us to Jesus Christ, and that's what we're supposed to hope in. Nothing more. These traditions and things like that, these are only barriers to getting the Holy Spirit because we think we can do them on our own, but we can't. And so Paul here, and even the Lord, as he goes through the Sermon on the Mount, takes that law and he opens it up to the nth degree. You have heard it said that thou shalt not kill. Did you ever hear that? Thou shalt not kill? Well, sure you have. But the Lord takes it one step further. He takes it into the realm of the heart. And he says, if you hate your brother without a cause, then you're guilty of murder. Man, I failed. The Lord is putting it into the realm of the Spirit. He wants to do these things. He's the one that sets these things up. Not us, him. He shows us what it is that he wants from us, and then he gives us the ability to do so as we humbly depend upon him. And that's the key. That's the ticket. Humbly prepare, or waiting upon him. Humbly getting the things that we need from him. So all of these things that he had forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats that God has set up, all of these things are, you know, barriers that we have set up ourselves. The traditions of men. The Jews had a great way of trying to keep everything. They ingrained everything into their society so that everybody knew what it was that they were supposed to do. Raised from a little one, they would know that they had to keep the Passover, that they had to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, to keep the Feast of Pentecost. All of those things were ingrained into their society. And these are the traditions that Paul talked about. Because once you get into those things, well, what constitutes work that I can do on the Sabbath day? And Jesus even said, don't you go and pull a sheep out of the pit that's fallen in on the Sabbath day? Because life is more important than the rules and the regulations. So well, not Paul, well, this is not what the Lord was requiring. He was saying, take a day and make it holy. Don't do work in it. Don't plan for your day. And this way, you show yourself that you are dependent on what the Lord gives you. Because us, we work 7 days a week. How many of us have worked 7 days a week? We plan our days. And when we're not at the office or we're not at our place of business, we're thinking about our place of business and how we can improve the things that we're doing. How can I make that sales call? How can I close that deal over here? Or how can I, you know, get all of the things done that I need to do? We're thinking about it. We're not resting. We may not be physically there. We may be in our barca lounger just kind of sitting back, but we're thinking about it. We're not giving God the glory. We're not giving him thanks for the things that we do have. These things lead to early demises because we're not doing as the Lord had said. Oh, yeah. Did I mention that taking a day off in 7 is one of the big 10? God must have thought that it was pretty important for us to follow that. We think, oh, well, killing, that's, you know, that's right up there. But taking a day off, well, you know, I think that's just a suggestion. You see how that works? Well, the Lord, you know, I really can't. Because I've got a deadline. You know, I got bills to pay and things like that. And if I just make that deal, then, man, I can do, oh, I could give to a missionary or something like that. Forget it. You're not fooling anybody. The Lord says it, do it. It is sanctified by the word of God. Sanctified being set apart. He has set you apart for what? We've read it in the word before. He has set you apart for good works. God works. You see, if we don't get recharged with the Lord every day, we're going to find ourselves trying to manipulate ourselves into doing the things for the Lord. Well, you know, I haven't been praying like I ought to do. Well, maybe I should get involved in a ministry. Stay away from the ministry. Get right with the Lord first. He'll direct your paths. Acknowledge your ways before him. He will direct your paths. How do we do that? By praying, you see. We've read in the Word that these things are what the Lord prescribes. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be ambassadors. Can you think you can do that without praying? Without going before the Lord and getting the direction? What are you going to be an ambassador of? What are you going to tell people? If you haven't heard from the Lord, you've got nothing to say to people. So that's why if you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. Don't be a false witness, you see. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian, and what I say, I haven't heard anything from the Lord, so I'm going to make something up. It sounds good. Maybe I'll quote a quote from a philosopher or something like that. Yeah, that's always good. People respond to that. Who's doing the work? You are. What spirit are you doing? The spirit of man, not the spirit of God. We need to have that connection with the Lord to get the word from the Lord to give to people in time of need. It's just like the food pantry. People have a need. Well, I've got an empty box here. Will this fill? Will this do for you? Well, no, it's not going to do. It's not going to be until somebody puts food in the box for it to go out to be, for it's going to do any good. And if the Lord hasn't put it on your heart to put it in the box, then the box will be empty. And if you haven't gone before the Lord to ask what you should be doing, then he's not going to be able to tell you to put food in the box so that people can eat. He says, you know, bring food into my house so that there'll be food for everybody. Bring your gifts so that there'll be bread for everybody. There's needs out there. Are you fulfilling those needs? Have you gone before the Lord and asked about the needs? Hey, we have people in the fellowship that are hurting. Have you been praying for those people? Have you gone before the Lord? See, the Lord is going to tell you these things when you go before him. It is sanctified, set apart. You are sanctified. Everything that you do is sanctified, set apart for the things of the Lord by the word and by prayer. So if we're in the word, we're going to realize, Lord, I can see that I failed. And I need to come before you. And as you come before you, hey, I'm glad to see you. You know what? There's something that I need for you to do. Philip. Remember Philip? In the midst of this grand, people were getting saved left and right. A revival was happening. People were coming to know the Lord. Things were just going so jolly well. And the Lord spoke to him by the Spirit of God and said, go into Gaza. Gaza? I mean, God, did you go to Gaza now? Go on Google Earth and see what Gaza is like. It's a wasteland. It's terrible. There's nothing going on in Gaza. It was just a road that went from, you know, Israel into Egypt. What's going to be happening in Gaza? But Philip was obedient because he heard from the Lord because he was in prayer. He went there. And what happened? He met the Ethiopian eunuch. Wow. And what's happening here? The guy's reading out of Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord prompted him, go up to the chariot and tell him what it is that he's reading. That's how it works. He had fellowship with the Lord. The Lord told him step by step on what it is that he wanted to do. Have you been having thoughts lately? What would you have me do, Lord? How could I be a witness in my workplace? Come before me. Sit before my throne. Hear my words. Sit at my feet. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. Maybe he wants to change your whole demeanor. Maybe it's you've been going on the bravado of who you've been or what you have done. When the Lord says, shuck all that. I don't want any of that. I want you to come before me in humility so that then you'll be a witness for me so that I can work through you. I'll get the glory and not you. That's what he wants from us. Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And verse 6 kind of makes me feel glad that I've gone through that because it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So I've done my job. Now you do yours. No. Okay. Class dismissed. No. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You see, we've been fed these things, but we need to put them into practice. You know, once it gets here, it's got to translate here. That 18-inch difference for some of us, some not so much, some others, you know, depending on your stature. Translating from head knowledge into heart knowledge. How do these things work? How is it worked out in my life? But refuse profane and old wise fable and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now this used to be my favorite verse until I had a blood pressure check the other day and I realized that bodily exercise can be a little bit profitable. It says it profits little, but this is true. But there is benefit in exercise, as I've been told by my physicians. Move around, you know. Get off your duff. You know, you sit at a computer all day, fine. Get up and move around. But it says that exercise thyself unto godliness. That's the place where we could exercise. And we can do that sitting down. We can do that at our desk by taking our thoughts captive as things come into our mind. What things come into my mind? Well, how can I better my position? Why do I have to do this mundane thing over and over and over again every day? It's the same thing. I'm so bored. I want a little bit of excitement. Be careful what you ask for, because you will get it. You want a little more excitement? People are going to come by. Hey, you know what? You're doing a mundane job. You know, we're going to get somebody else in here. And now you're out of a job. Oh, Lord, now I got to live by faith now, right? But taking all of those thoughts captive, the things that we think about when we're at work, are they things of the Lord? Are they things of thanksgiving? Are they things of praise? The Lord says to think on those things. Whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good, whatever is pure, think on those things. We get into trouble when we don't take every thought captive, because our thoughts take us, our feet start to follow our thoughts. It gets into our head, it gets into our heart, and then our feet are following in that very same thing. Then our mouths are running off with things that we really ought not be saying. They aren't things of praise. They aren't things of thanksgiving. They're grumblings, they're complainings. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They went through all of these wonderful things, the 10 plagues of Egypt. Now, it wasn't wonderful for them, but they were able to see God's work, and they knew that God was working on these things. They were set free. They walked through the Red Sea, led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. What else could you want? But you get a, we don't have any meat. We don't have any water. And they started to grumble and complain about the things that they did not have. But God was supplying it. Oh no, Lord, I need to know where it's coming from. I need to know when it's coming from so that I can plan my day. These are the things that I need. These are the things that I want. But the Lord says to wait on Him. Wait on Him and you'll be filled. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, godliness, what is godliness? Being holy is godliness. Being holy as He is holy. Striving to be like the Creator. Now, that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but it's not. When you strive to be like your Creator, that means that you're warring against your flesh. Because your flesh is pulling you into ungodliness. As you let the thoughts of your mind go, you're going to realize, man, these are the things that are going to bolster the flesh. You've never been burdened. You know, the flesh has never been burdened by getting into prayer. In fact, it wars against that. Whenever you start to pray, the phone will buzz, or the phone will ring, or something will ding on your computer, or something will distract you from these things. A baby cries, maybe. Oh, you know, we're not disciplined in ourselves to do these things. I encourage people at my work to do backups of their information. How many people do you think do those backups? None. We get busy. We forget until our computer crashes. Did you do your backups like I told you? I kind of forgot. Did you ever do your backups? No. I kind of forgot. Now they don't have their files. So it's the same thing with us. Do we do our backups? Do we go before the Lord? Do we get bolstered up in the Lord? As we get bolstered up, we're going to realize that He's, like we read in our psalm today. Remember? Make me to know the joy of my salvation. We forget about the joy of our salvation, because we're never going to die. We're going to live forever. Doesn't that make you happy? I mean, we're never going to die. Think about that for a second. We're never going to die because the Lord took our death away from us. You'll never have to do that now because you've already died to yourself and you live to Me. And as you live in Him, the joy of my salvation, there it is. Bodily exercise profiteth little in this world, but godliness is profitable unto all things, the eternal life. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. That's what we're exercising in, the life that is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. We should be accepting this in all of our times, in our times of grief. We need to remember that. When we lose a loved one, we need to remember, hey, life does not end here. All things have happened because God has ordained it to happen. And I know from the Scriptures that all things work together for good. Go ahead and say it with me. To those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Romans 8, Remember that. I mean, that's a good chapter to even memorize. All things work together for good. And as we remember that, we can look at our lives and say, yeah, this bad thing, I don't know what this bad thing that's going on in my life is going to produce, but I know that all things work together for good. Somehow, some way, this is going to be for my benefit, for my good. The Lord takes somebody out of your life. It may be for your benefit, for your good. Somebody brings into your life. The Lord, hey, somebody brings somebody into your life, and he says, yeah, this is for my good. All things work together for good. You mean that statement I got from the IRS saying that I owe taxes, that's good? Yeah, it's good. Don't ask me what. I don't know, I'm not God. But God is working everything that comes into your life for your good, for your benefit. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we'll never know. And then sometimes it's for somebody else. Watching you go through these things, it's for their benefit. And your good out of that is that you're a witness of what lies within. You've been squeezed by the circumstances of life. Like that toothpaste tube. What's going to come out? Only that which you put in. That's what's going to come out. When times are rough, when times are hard, when bad things happen, the Lord is showing us what's inside. When that person cuts you... No, that's not a good thing. When that... No, that's not a good one either. Bad things happen for our good. To show us what we need yet to go. We need to go before the Lord. So therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now listen to what Paul's saying here, please, for a second. This will save you miles and miles and hours in libraries trying to figure this out. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right? So, when he died, he took on himself all of the sins of the world. All. And all means all in the Greek. Okay? It's a little lesson for you. All means all. He is the Savior of how many men? Those who are just believing? All. That's what I'm reading. He is the Savior of all men, but especially to those who believe. You say, he is the Savior. He is the only way to the Father. He says so. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Only through me can you get to the Father. He is the Savior of all men. But especially to those who believe, because they have been called. They have been chosen. And we can rest in that because he's done the work. He's done the choosing. He's done the calling. He's done the equipping. He's done the saving. All men has been saved by Jesus Christ. These things command and teach. Not a suggestion. It's a command. We should be teaching these things. Jesus Christ came to save all men. He says in his word, I would have none to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. None to perish. I don't want any to perish. And contrary to what you would hear in the street, God does not send anyone to hell. He doesn't. In fact, he's done everything that he can to keep you from going there. That's all people. In other words, he's laid down in the path to block your way of getting there. You have to walk over the Son of God to get to hell. And you go to hell because you want to go there. Plain and simple. You want to go to heaven? The way is made plain. You want to go to hell? That's up to you. He will not violate your free will. You can do whatever you want. Which leads us back to the traditions once again. To keep ourselves in line. On the onset, these things are not a bad thing, setting boundaries for yourself. But if you're living by those boundaries rather than the Word of God, see, the Word of God will keep you centered. It'll keep you equidistant from all of the boundaries that you've set. But if you're living by boundaries, you're going to wander over to the edge. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, it's a marvelous sight. If you've never seen it, I mean, if you've only seen it in pictures, it doesn't do it justice. But if you've been to the South Rim, and I love the South Rim better than the North Rim because you're looking up 1,000 feet at the North Rim, and you just get this grand vista all around you. And I guess it's human nature, but you just want to venture over to the edge to look down. And so many people have fell to their death because it's a good long drop until you get to the next plateau from the South Rim. Okay, it's not this like nice little thing. It's a drop off. In fact, you're hanging over the edge. And it's been so dangerous that people have done this, that they built this overhang with a glass bottom so people can walk out there and see without getting killed. But before that, there used to be a railing, and you'd see them invariably. They'd be hanging over the railing. Yep, gone. Sweaty hands. It's hot out there. But that's us. We get close to our borders. How close can I get to the border without falling over? And you get a gust of wind, boom, you're over. But if you're in the middle, you see, that gust of wind can come, it's not going to blow you over. Because you're in the Word of God. The Lord is showing you where your feet should be walking. But we were looking at our borders that we've set up, these traditions, these things that on the onset are good, but they're not good to live by. They keep us honest, but it's the Word of God that does these things. Let no man despise thy youth. I don't have to worry about that. Be thou an example of the believers. That I do have to worry about. Because I'm not always an example to the believers. And you shouldn't really be watching me. You should be looking to the Lord. The Lord is going to lead you. The Lord is going to guide you. When you focus yourself on a person or a personality, what's going to happen? You're going to scrutinize that personality, and then you're going to start to see the flaws. You're going to start to see the blemishes. You're going to start to see the misspeaks and the things that are contradictory to the things that are being preached. When you look at a person. Now, what Paul here is saying, hey, be an example to the believer of how you should be doing. In other words, be mindful of your behavior. This is something that you can do for people. Being mindful of your behavior, of the things that you speak. Thinking first rather than just regretting the things that you've spoken. It's kind of hard to draw those words back in. But lest we think that we can do it, Paul puts these little caveats in. He says, be thou an example to the believers in word. Well, we've already covered that one. In conversation. Conversation is habit of life. Now, these things we can be mindful of. We can pray that the Lord would keep our feet on the path that he would have us to walk. In charity. Love. We can't love one another without the Spirit. It cannot be done. We can fake it, but that's hypocrisy. And we don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be real before people. And that's sometimes a very uncomfortable thing for people when they say, well, you know what, I don't have that love. But actually, that's the best place to be. Because you're confessing, I don't have the love. I need the love. I need to ask the Lord for the love for my brothers and sisters. I don't want to lead them astray by being a false witness, by putting on a smile when I don't have a smile, by saying, you know, hey, everything's fine, everything's good, when it's not. Being real before people, not being a hypocrite, not putting on that face. And we love to put on the face because we want to see the people we want to have. But there are the times that, hey, you know what? It's not going to be real. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the love that we need to love brothers and sisters. In spirit. In spirit. When our spirit is joined with the Spirit of God, that's when things are right. That's when things are good. That's when we're sitting before the Savior. In faith, in purity. Man, he just makes it more and more difficult for us to do these things in our flesh, if we're honest with ourselves. See, these things are set up so that we will fail in the flesh. The flesh cannot do these things. Only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a continual relationship, is going to be able to suffice on any of these points, especially in faith. Oh, we may be able to believe something, but at the first sign of hardship, what's going to happen to our belief if we're not rooted in Jesus Christ? He says, you know, like when the storms come, hey man, if your anchor is in the rock, you're not going to be blown away. Your foundation has to be set on the rock. But if it's built on sand, oh, that faith is still there, isn't it? But it's built on sand. It's built on head knowledge. It's not built on Jesus Christ. So he says here, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, I'm going to put this in a different sense, and I'm going to say, this is the Lord talking to you right now. He is saying, until I come, I want you to give attendance to reading. Do not neglect the reading of the Word of God. Now, it's not just the casual reading. I'm talking about getting in there and asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate. I'm talking about getting in and reading. That's what we need to do. Because if we don't, we're not going to be able to, you know, exhort people. We cannot do exhortation without being exhorted ourselves. And a casual reading of the Word of God is not going to do it. A lot of people, well, I read my Bible every day. I read a chapter a day. I read in Psalms. I read the New Testament. I read the Old Testament. Hey, I'm reading the Word of God. But are we reading the Word of God? Are we into the Word of God? Do we realize that it is God Himself that is talking to us, that is instructing us, drawing us closer to Him? Draw close to Him. Hear His voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and another they won't follow. Are you dazzled by the celebrity pastors that are out there today? Are you, oh yeah, I listen to this person and that person and the other person. Well, you're lifting up that person. You're not lifting up Jesus Christ. Think about it. Who are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the pastor that I listen to on the radio. Well, bully for you. That's great. Are you listening to Jesus, the creator of all things? He wants to have that relationship with you. When you're reading His Word, are you asking Him, what does this mean? How is this applied to my life? How can I do this? And then wait for the answer. If you go in there without the expectation of the Lord ministering to you or speaking to you, then you're wasting your time. This is the way that we need to approach the Word of God. The Lord is going to speak, and we need to apply. And we can't apply it without the exhortation. That's what exhortation is, applying that which you have learned. We call it wisdom in the Old Testament. That's what the Proverbs call it. It's called wisdom. Exhortation is follow after the Lord. I'm exhorting you now to go before the Lord. Get the information that you need. Get the love that you need. Get the spirit that you need. Have it overflow until there's nothing of yourself left in there. Empty yourself so that you can be filled with Him. And as you're being filled, you're going to want to give it out. You can't help it. It's going to be a natural outflow. You're going to be changed. Doctrine. Doctrine is the anchor. It's the rock. The doctrine of the Scripture is this. I can sum it up all in one word. Redemption. That's doctrine, folks. That is the doctrine from Genesis to Revelation. The Lord set this out there for redemption. Redeeming or buying back fallen man to Himself. Everything else is details that mark that. Everything else. The whole Bible is summed up redemption. Now, the details come out. And some people say, well, you know, there's many different interpretations of this verse and that verse. You folks, this is the lens that you interpret Bible, prophecy, doctrine, everything else. It's through redemption. How is this related to redemption? And everything will fall into place. Once you put that in your mind, this is how I interpret this. That means, you know those passages in Isaiah? No? You know what I'm talking about. You know those passages that we don't go to because we don't understand them. If we look at these passages through the lens of redemption, these things start to become crystal clear of what they're referring to and how they fit in the Scriptures. You know, the 144,000 in the book of the Revelation. What's that about? It's about redemption. Redemption of who? The Jewish people. It's really simple. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through these things. And then you're going to tackle these books like Zechariah, and you're going to start to see, wow, the thing is opening up because it's all about redemption. These are the details that go into redemption. The book of Leviticus, it's all about redemption. That's 100% pure redemption. all of the sacrifices and all of the things that you're talking about there, redemption. Solomon's temple, what's that about? It's about redemption. All of it. It's all about redemption. The book of Genesis. Redemption, well, that's pretty obvious. Exodus, that's pretty obvious too. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, okay. All right, we got the Pentateuch. That's out of the way. Judges, well, yeah, that's all of those. They're all about redemption. Just different ways of looking at it, all the things that he has set up until it comes to the culmination, the last chapter in the book. It's about it is finished. You ever hear that phrase before? It's called tetelestai. You know what tetelestai means? Paid in full. The price of redemption has been paid. Jesus cried out from the cross, it is full. It's paid in full. It's done. It's finished. All we're doing now is doing the mop-up. That's all we're doing now. It's done. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. And we're in Jesus Christ. We're just waiting for the culmination of it all. The plans have already been set. Any of you guys have made any plans of any importance lately? You see how the works start to come together? Everything starts to fall into place. Like a wedding. Anybody doing a wedding, Leah? No? No? Hello, is this on? It's all about redemption. So until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, the gift that's been given by prophecy, we don't have to go very far for that. We already know what that is. What is prophecy? It's nothing more than the word of God. Now, we take prophecy to mean that which is coming in the future. Well, guess what, folks? As you ingest the Word of God, all of these things are going to start to transform your life in the near future. Okay? So, it's not any great mystery. As you start to read the Word of God, you're going to start to realize that prophecy, the giving of the Word of God, is going to start to take effect in your life. And then you're going to start to fulfill these things. Meditate upon these things. Well, it gives you exhortation. Meditate on these things. Don't just take them over glance. Get in there and take this chapter and meditate on it. Meditate how it applies to you. Okay? Ladies, it's not, Lord, open up my husband's eyes. You know, I mean, just we like to think that some of the things in there, you know, if my husband would just wake up and do what's right, then we'd have a wonderful life. No, it's for us all individually. That's ladies too, so. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Profiting, the steady, day-by-day transformation of your walk with Jesus Christ is going to be profitable to all. They're going to look at it, and they're going to give God the glory. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. The transformation that's taking place, it's not of me, it's of the Lord. Take heed to thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's being an example. Now it's not in the saving in the respect of what Jesus Christ has done. But you're going to be mindful. You're going to keep yourself pure by putting these doctrines and the faith and all of these things in mind, walking with the Lord. These are the things that are going to keep you, and as people see you do it, they're going to follow suit. They're going to do the same things. Want to know if you're a leader or not? Look behind you. See if anybody's following you. That's a perfect example. But if nothing else, you're going to save yourself. And everybody that hears you, you're going to give the salvation to others. That say, man, you know what? If they saved a wretch like you, man, I know the Lord can save me. Because they're going to look at you. I remember when you, did anybody ever come up to you and say, that knew you when you were, I remember you used to be, but now you're not. What's happened? What's caused this change? What's caused this transformation? And lead it in. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ in me. If you want some, come with me. Follow after him. Give him the word. Give them the doctrine, give them the faith. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we indeed would just truly follow after you. with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. To love you supremely above all else. Lord, allow us to be ambassadors for you. Allow us to be witnesses for you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we have communion.